الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we're discussing some of the benefits related to the first verse. Some of the benefits related to the first verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of the worlds. We have seen that this beautiful name Allah, it is the name that all of the rest of the beautiful names and attributes they return back to, and all of the rest of the attributes, they are a description of this beautiful name, the name Allah. And that the main trait and attribute this name contains, this beautiful name contains, is al-uluhiyyah, the divinity, meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal, He possesses all of the attributes of perfection, thus He is the one who is worthy of worship alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for the beautiful name ar-Rabb, the Lord, then this beautiful name is from those names that contain a number of different meanings. It's from those beautiful names that contain a number of different meanings, that indicate a number of different meanings, not just only one meaning, but the attribute that is derived from this name is ar-rububiyyah, which is translated to mean the lordship. But the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal contains many different issues. At the head of that is the fact that Allah, He is the creator alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who has brought everything into existence alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who has given everything its shape and its form, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the provider and the sustainer of all things, and He is the one who is in charge of His creation alone, and disposing of the affairs of the entire universe alone, and everything in this life, in this creation, belongs to Him and is under His authority and command, and nothing happens except with His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who gives life, and He is the one who gives death, and He is the one who raises, and He is the one who lowers, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all good is in His hands, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is from the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we have seen in our previous class that ar-rububiyyah dalilul uluhiyyah, that understanding the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the evidence and the proof for the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the evidence and the proof for the fact that Allah alone, He is the one who is worthy of worship, and that all actions of worship and servitude and devotion are the right of Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who truly understands the lordship of Allah, the rububiyyah of Allah, he knows what this means, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. He knows and he has the proper understanding of this verse. All praises and thanks belong to Allah alone, and they're His right alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Lord of the worlds. The one who understands this beautiful attribute of al-rububiyyah and all of the wonderful meanings that this attribute contains, then he will surrender to Allah and submit. And he'll put his faith and trust and reliance upon Allah entirely. And his heart will be attached to Allah with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance and sincere faith. And his heart will not be attached to the creation, because all of the creation belongs to Allah and is under the command of Allah, and cannot make a movement except with the permission of Allah, cannot bring about any good or defend itself from any harm except by the decree and the command of Allah. So therefore, to put one's faith in anything from the creation, no matter how lofty it may be, is foolishness and falsehood. And the truth, and that which is correct and upright, is to put one's faith in the creator of creation, and the provider of creation, and the sustainer of creation, and the Lord of creation, in Rabb al-Alameen. And Rabb al-Alameen, so the one who understands this, he will have strong faith, he will have strong reliance, he will have strong trust, He'll be pleased with the decree of Allah. He'll be able to be patient in every circumstance. Even whenever he falls short in these affairs, he will hasten and return back to Allah, because he knows he has a Lord, and that his Lord has authority and command, and that he violated those rights and transgressed those limits. And then again, he will recognize the lordship of Allah, and then likewise the divinity of Allah, and he will beg for forgiveness, and he will repent. So to understand the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla is of utmost importance, to understand it properly. To understand it properly, because this is the gateway. This is the gateway to deify Allah. And the one who truly understands the rububiyyah, this will produce along with that likewise the uluhiyyah in his heart. He will become a slave to Allah. And he will realize the wisdom and the benefit of abiding by the commandments of Allah and avoiding the prohibitions of Allah. Because Allah, he is Rabbul Alameen. He's the one who has authority. He's the one who this entire creation belongs to him. And he has authority and control over it. And that which he commands in his creation and the universal command is good. And that which he commands likewise in the legislative command is good. Is good. It's all good. So therefore a person, he will submit and surrender. And he will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of his ability. And he will strive upon that path in the obedience of Allah with love and with hope and with fear. With love and with hope and with fear. All of this is coming from this issue here, understanding this very first verse. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the author, again, from the meanings here, he's mentioning that Ar-Rabbu huwa al-Ma'bud al-Malik al-Mutasarrif Murabbi Jami' al-Alameen bi-Ni'amihi. That the Rabb, he is the one who has the right to be worshipped in truth. And the Rabb, he is the owner. He is the owner, and he is the one who is organizing and disposing the affairs of this creation, and he is the one who is cultivating and raising this creation, cherishing this creation, all of it, with his blessings and with his favors. With his blessings and with his favors. The author, he says, Al-Alamina kullu ma siwa Allahi alamun wa huwa rabbu al-jami'. Al-Alamina, the author, he says, this term here, Al-Alamina, meaning that we translate it to mean the worlds, or the universe. He says, "Kullu ma siwa Allahi alamun wa huwa rabbul jami'." Everything besides Allah is alam. Is alam. And Allah, he is the Lord of all. And Allah, he is the Lord of all. So we have to be careful to pronounce this word properly. Again, indicating the importance of learning the Arabic language, because one could pronounce it with a kasra on the lam and the meaning would be different. And that's not what is intended. Al-alim, al-alim is ism fa'il, min alima, yani meaning the knower, the one who knows something. Al-alim, or a scholar, could be translated to mean a scholar. Al-alim, or a person who has knowledge, someone who knows something, he's called alim. That's not what is intended here. Rather, there's a fatha on the lam. Al-alam, al-alam. So al-alam jinsun min ajnas al-makhluqat. Jinsun min ajnas al-makhluqat. Yusamma alaman. Alam. With the fatha here on the lam. Alam. This is a type from the types of the creation. So al-alamuna is the plural of alam. This is what he's saying. Kullu ma siwa Allahi alam. Everything besides Allah is from the alam. Yani is from the creation. Is from the creation. Wa huwa rabbu al-jami'. And Allah, he is the Rabb of all of the alameen. So the word alim, it comes, the plural comes in more than one manner. You can say alamuna, and also alamina, like we have here. That means that's the plural of alam, alameen, rabbu al alameen. Another plural is awalim, awalim, awalim. And again, al alim jinsun min ajnas al makhluqat. والعوالم كثيرة العوالم كثيرة. The things that are considered عالم, and we could translate the word عالم to mean the world. The world. This is a translation of that likewise. Also it could mean only the creation. يعني العالم, the world. But the world is from creation. And in reality there are many worlds, يعني from this aspect, many creations. So we have, for example, عالم البر and عالم البحر وعالم الحشرات وعالم الحيوانات يعني so many different. There we have the world of the land and the world of the sea. On the land there's a whole world, of creatures and beings. And in the sea, there's a whole world of creatures and beings. And likewise, the insect world is very vast, and there's many different species. And the likes like this. So each species or each type from the different types of creation, this is considered an adam. Adam al-Asmak, there's a world of fish. And all different types of species of fish, and they have their own world that they live in. Allah, He's the Lord of all of that. The world of the animals in the jungle, and the animals in the forest, and the animals in the desert. All of these are different awalim. All of these are different awalim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the Lord of. That Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the Lord of. He is the creator and the provider and the sustainer of. And He is the one who is disposing of the affairs of all of them. He is the one who is disposing of the affairs of all of them. From that which clarifies any the meaning of the word Alameen is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned. Yani in the dialogue that occurred between Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. Whenever Musa alayhi salam, he called Fir'aun to worship Rabb al-Alameen. To worship Rabb al-Alameen. And Fir'aun, he says, قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ Fir'aun, he says, and who is رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ Who is رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ And who is the Lord of the worlds? What are you referring to? And Musa, he says, قَالَ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُوقِنِينَ He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything that is between them, if you truly have certainty. So therefore, he is interpreting here the meaning of alameen, yani everything in the heavens and the earth. So from here, the people of knowledge have mentioned exactly like the author, he's clarifying, rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise what he has clarified in other works, that al-alam, kullu ma siwa Allahi alamun, wa ana wahidun min dhalika al-alam. Everything besides Allah is from the alams, from the creation, from the world, from the universe, from this life, and I am one from them. And I am one from them. وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْجَمِيعِ يعني وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى رَبُّ الْجَمِيعِ And Allah, He is the Lord of all of them. And so that means that Allah is your Lord and my Lord, because we are all from the Alam. And that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, because all of this is from the Alam. And Allah, He is the Lord of the fish and the sea, and likewise of the plants and the trees, and also the birds and the skies. All of these are from the Alam. The different awalim. The different awalim, Allah, He is the Lord of all of them. Meaning like we have clarified previously, He's the Lord, meaning He's the creator and the provider and the sustainer, the one who has given all of these things their shape and their forms, the one who is providing for all of them, the one who is bringing them into existence, and the one who is giving life to that which is alive and causing to die that which is dead, and providing for this one and providing for that one, and so on and so forth. He is the one who is disposing of these affairs, bringing the provision in the manner that is proper, and likewise He is the one who is guiding every one of His creatures and creations, the general guidance that it needs to be able to be alive and to be able to thrive and to survive. This is a general guidance that the creation has. The bees, they have guidance. The bees, they have guidance. And the ants, they have guidance. And the fish in the seas, they have guidance. And the birds in the trees, they have guidance. Even the trees and the plants, they have guidance. The trees and the plants, they have guidance. They know how to find the water. Whenever the water is distant, you can see this even sometimes here in Georgia. I have seen this in my own home, that sometimes the trees, they will grow, and they will grow, and the limbs will grow and grow and grow until they find the water. Sometimes in the windows and the lights like this, they will grow towards the water, and they will move towards the water. And there are plants that their roots, they don't need any, they're able to find by themselves the roots. The roots will find the water. They're called athariya. They're called athariya. These plants, they're able to grow and move underground. The roots will move towards the water. And this is something that Allah has guided them. They know how to live and to survive and to thrive. So Allah, He is the Lord. Allah, He is the one who is in authority over this. Allah, He is the one who is providing all of this. And likewise, all of the eyesight the people have, and the animals have, and the insects have, and the hearing, the ability to see and to hear. All of us, we share in that. Alhamdulillah. Rather, all beings that are alive, the life that has a soul, they have the ability to see and to hear. The animals, they have the ability to see and to hear. And the insects, they have the ability to see and to hear. And the fish, they have the ability to see and to hear. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who is providing for all of the seeing and hearing. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who is providing for all of the seeing and the hearing. And none of them, they see or nor hear alike. None of them do they see nor do they hear alike. And all these different awalim. all of these different beings. The fish, they see differently than the cats, and the cats, they see differently than the birds, and we see differently than all of them. And we see differently than all of them. And so this is an amazing affair, indicating the greatness of Allah and His majesty and His complete and perfect knowledge and wisdom, and likewise His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, kullu mawjoodin siwallah alamun. Kullu mawjoodin siwallahi alamun. Everything that's in existence besides Allah Azza wa Jal is from the Adam. So this word here, Alhamdulillah, Rabb al-Alameen, the Lord of the universe, the Lord of the worlds. What this means, He is the Lord of everything in existence. So everything besides Allah, He is the Lord of that. He is the creator of that. He is the provider of that. He is the sustainer of that. He is the one who has brought that into existence, and it is under His authority and command, and it belongs to Him. And it belongs to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Rabb al-Alameen. He is Rabb al-Alameen. So then a person, he will put his faith and his trust and his hope and his reliance in and the Lord of the worlds and not in the creation. All of the creation is marbub, and Allah, He is the Rabb. All of the creation is makhluk, and Allah, He is the Khaliq. This is the most important point to understand, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the Khaliq. Everything besides Him is makhluk, is creation. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the Rabb. He's the creator, provider, and sustainer. Everything besides Him is marbub, and He is raised and cultivated and taken care of. Everything besides Him. Everything besides Him in existence is marbub. It belongs to Allah and is cultivated and raised and provided for by Allah Azza wa Jal. So they're all in this manner abid. They're all in this manner abid. Everything is abd for Allah. When kullu ma fi samawati wa ardi illa ati rahmani abda. Everything in the heavens and the earth. There's nothing in the heavens and the earth except for it comes to Ar-Rahman is a abd, is a slave for Allah. Is a slave for Allah. And everything, the heavens and the earth, they're slave to Allah and they're slave to His command and they move according to His decree. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels are slaves to Allah. The people are slaves to Allah. The animals are slaves to, we're all the slaves of Allah under His command and under His authority. Hu al-wahid al-qahhar. He is the one and the irresistible, the one who has power and authority that no one can escape, and that all are returning back to. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all from the meanings of Rabb al-Alameen. So whenever a person, he learns who his Rabb is, then his heart will become strong, and his soul will become firm, and he will be able to stand and face the challenges of life. He will be able to stand and face the challenges of life with faith and trust and a strong and a firm heart. With faith and trust and strong and a firm heart. And he will not be moved and affected and overcome by the ups and downs and the waves and trials of life. Rather, he will know that it's all from the decree of Allah and the command of Allah, and that he is a slave of Allah. This is from the greatest benefits of Surah Al-Fatiha, that we learn about Allah in the beginning here. That we learn about Allah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. All of this is learning about Allah and who He is. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also praising Him and loving Him for that. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, and also learning who we are as well. So the Fatiha teaches us who our Lord is and teaches us who we are. That He is the Rabb and we are marbubun. And He is the Khaliq and we are makhluqun. And He is the Raziq and nahnu marzuqun. He is the provider and we are provided for. He is the cherisher and sustainer, and He is the one who was raising us and taking care of us. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Lord and we are His slaves. He is the Lord and we are His slaves. He is our Creator and we belong to Him. He is our Creator and we belong to Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the connection that we have between us is the connection of mercy. That's why Allah, He says, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The most gracious, the most merciful. So if someone were to ask, what type of lordship is this? This lordship, this authority, this command, this supreme and ultimate power and control, this authority that is absolute, what type of authority is it? It's the authority of mercy. Because He is Ar-Rahman. He is the Rabb. He is the Rabb, but the Rabb, He is the most gracious and the most merciful. The Rabb, He is the most gracious and the most merciful. And the greatest grace and the greatest mercy from the Rabb is that He will guide your heart to Al-Islam And the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, as the author he mentioned, it also has the meaning of a tarbiyah. The lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, ar-rububiyyah, under the meanings of ar-rububiyyah is a tarbiyah. And also in Usul al-Thalatha, what did he say? إِذَا قِيلَ لَكَ مَنْ رَبُّكَ فَقُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي رَبَّانِي وَرَبَّى جَمِيعَ الْعَالَمِينَ بِنِيَامِهِ. Yani رَبَّانِي, this is from tarbiyah. Tarbiyah, رَبَّى يُرَبِّي تَرْبِيَةً. Tarbiyah is tarqiyah to shay, imraqi al-kamal. Yani that something will be cultivated and raised level after level after level until it reaches perfection. Until it reaches its peak of perfection. So this is a tarbiyah. The meaning of tarbiyah is to cultivate something, to raise it, to take care of it, to look after it, and to cherish it until it comes to its peak of perfection. To the peak of perfection. The parents, they have tarbiyah for their children. And if they're fulfilling that trust properly, then they will cultivate their children and raise them and look after them and honor and cherish them until they raise them until they're adults that are upright and noble upon the straight path, by the permission of Allah. And a teacher likewise, he was raised his students in the same manner. This idea here. وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. Likewise, those yani, who teach, they are having this trait of tarbiyah. But this is also from the meaning of the Rabb, to understand. So the Rabb, he is the murabbi. He is the one who is raising the creation and cultivating the creation and cherishing the creation and providing for it and bringing it to its perfection. And if we look how the human being, the creation of the human being, how it begins with fluid and the womb of a woman, and then it turns into a blood clot, and then after that it turns into flesh, and then it has bones, and then after that it starts to form and have shape. That blood clot turns into flesh that has bones, very small, very small, and then that flesh, it starts to take shape, and then little ears are formed, and eyes are formed, and a nose is formed, a mouth is formed, a heart is formed, intestines are formed, all these intricate body parts in the womb of a woman. In this manner, Allah, He is the one who is raising that. He is the one who created that, and He's cultivating that, raising that, and He is the one who's providing for that until it comes out with a life. Until it comes out with a life. So Allah, He's the Rabb, but meaning He is the one who is cultivating and raising the creation. Likewise the trees and the fish and the animals and the plants. All of this creation in this manner. And this is from the amazing affair of the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the greatest tarbiyah from the Rabb is that He will cultivate the faith in the heart of a person. And He will guide him to Iman. And He will cultivate them upon the good ways of faith, the ways of creed and belief, and the proper manners and conduct and etiquettes in the manner that is pleasing to Allah. Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this in his tafsir. And we read this benefit that he mentioned, rahimahullah. He says, وَتَرْبِيَتُهُ تَعَالَى لِخَلْقِهِ نَوْعَانِ. And his cultivation, the Most High, meaning Allah, for His creation, and the tarbiyah, the way that He cultivates and cherishes, raises and sustains and brings up His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is two types, amma wa khasa, general and specific. He says, فَالْعَامَّةُ هِيَ خَلْقُهُ لِلْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَرَزْقُهُمْ وَهِدَايَتُهُمْ لِمَا فِيهِ مَصَارِحُهُمْ أَلَّتِي فِيهَا بَقَاؤُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. As for the general cultivation and raising of His creation, then this is that He creates the creations, all of them, and He provides for them, and He guides them to that which they need for their best interests in order to remain in this life, any for survival. He guides their hearts and their minds and their souls to be able to survive and remain in creation. So all of the creation, they have guidance. As has preceded the animals, they have guidance. The animals, they have guidance. The horses and the camels and the rest of the animals, they have guidance. Whenever they're born and they have guidance. They're not like children. The guidance that the animals have is different from the guidance the human beings have. And many times they're born and they will stand up and walk immediately or almost immediately. They'll be born and walk and they'll be born and stand up and walk immediately or almost immediately. Yani in a very brief period. And then they know where their mother is, and they know where to find the milk and their nourishment. They know it's already ingrained in them, and their fitrah. Allah has given them guidance. Also from His beautiful name, said Hadi, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is also from the affairs of Rububiyyah. He is the one who guides. He is the one who guides whom He wills, and He leads astray whom He wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He guides whom He wills from His mercy and His grace, and He leads astray whom He wills from His wisdom and His justice. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the general rububiyyah and the general guidance, likewise here, is guiding and cultivating the creation in a manner that all of the creation knows how to go about and find its provision and what it needs in order to remain, to thrive and be alive. The plants and the animals and the fish, and whenever they're born, for example, sometimes we see the fish, they'll leave eggs. And then they'll leave many eggs. And then from those, the little fish, they hatch. And they start swimming immediately. And then they find their own provision. They don't have a mother coming with a bottle. And they don't have a mother coming with a bottle. They have different type of guidance that Allah guides them, inspires them. Allah, He guides them and inspires them. And this is an amazing affair from the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the general tarbiyah of Allah Azza wa Jal for the creation, and all of His creation has this. And Allah, He is the Lord. He is the Rabb of all of His creation. And this is from that aspect. He says, Rahimahullah, وَالْخَاصَةُ تَرْبِيَتُهُ لِأَوْلِيَائِهِ. And the specific type of tarbiyah, cultivation and nourishment and upbringing, tarbiyatuhu liawliyaihi, is his tarbiyah and his cultivating and raising for his awliya, and those whom he loves. Those whom he loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, fayurabbihim bil iman. So he will cultivate them and raise them with faith. With iman. وَيُوَفِّقُهُمْ لَهُ. And He will grant them guidance and make it easy for them. And He give them success to find faith. To give them success to have faith. And to be upon faith. And from the people of faith. وَيُكَمِّرُهُمْ وَيَدْفَعُ عَنْهُمُ الصَّوَادِفُ وَالْعَوَائِقَ الْحَائِلَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ. And He will complete them. And He will perfect them by way of that faith. And He will repel from them. And He move away from them or turn away from them all of the distractions and the roadblocks that would prohibit them from reaching faith. And some people, they're completely distracted from this life until they do not see nor hear the truth. Some people, they're completely distracted from this life and they never even come across anyone who introduces to them the issues of faith. As I mentioned before, previously in my own experience, I lived a lifetime before even hearing the words of faith. The ideas of Iman, the ideas of Qur'an, yani the name Qur'an. Some people, they live like this. They live a lifetime and they never even come across somebody introducing to them the issue of Iman, the issue of Qur'an, the issue of the prophets and messengers, yani according to the law of Al-Islam. So some people, they're so preoccupied in their life and they're turned away and not even in the company of a Muslim, or they never meet a Muslim in their life to even be introduced to the issues and the realities of faith. As for those whom Allah Azza wa Jal, He takes them as awliya and He loves them, then He will guide them. He will guide them by way of faith and He will remove those obstacles. He will remove those obstacles that are in the place and they will be guided to faith. And they'll be guided to faith in many different ways. Other people, likewise, maybe they hear about it, but they will reject their faith and they'll not believe in it because they have other obstacles or things that are coming between them. Some people, what will come between them and accepting faith is that they can't leave what their forefathers were upon. They cannot leave what their forefathers were upon. This is an obstacle for many people that will prohibit them from accepting faith, that they will not want to leave what their forefathers were upon. And if this is something that is well known. So there are many obstacles that could prohibit a person from learning about the faith or from accepting the faith if he hears about it. But the tarbiyah al-khasa, from the Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He will remove those obstacles. He will remove those barriers. He will facilitate the path for the person to find his way to faith. He will guide him. So this is the greatest favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, this is also from the aspects of mercy. Allah, He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He's the most gracious and the most merciful. And there's a general mercy that encompasses all of the creation. And there's a special mercy for those who believe. That's called Ar-Rahman Al-Imaniyah. The mercy of faith. The faith-based mercy. And this is likewise the same issue here. This is from the mercy of the Rabb. Then he will remove those obstacles and he will direct the person to faith and guide them to believe and facilitate that for them and make it easy. So he's saying here that he will complete them by way of that. He says, وَحَقِيقَتُهَا تَرْبِيَةُ التَّوْفِيقِ لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَالْإِسْمَةُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ. And the reality of this tarbiyah here is the tarbiyah of a tawfiq, any meaning guidance, that Allah, He will raise and cultivate a person and granting him success to all good, and to the beneficial knowledge and the ability to believe in it and follow it. And the ability to believe in it and follow it. And likewise, he will cultivate, this cultivation here is that Allah, He will grant that person protection. He will grant that person a protection from all evils. A protection from all evils. He says, وَلَعَلَّ هَذَا الْمَعْنَى هُوَ سِرُّ فِي كَوْنِ أَكْثَرِ أَدْعِيَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ بِلَفْظِ الرَّبِّ. He says, and maybe this meaning here is the secret behind why the majority of the supplications of the prophets, عليهم الصلاة والسلام, they come with this term here, الرَّبِّ. Many of the supplications that you find that the prophets they make and the Quran, and likewise many of the supplications of the Prophet Muhammad himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be in this manner, calling on Allah by this name, Rabb. Rabbana atina fid dunya. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. They begin with Rabb, using this name, not another name from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why the majority of these supplications, the prophets and messengers, they use this term to call on Allah and not other names. They use this beautiful name of Allah Azza wa Jal to call on Him and not other names. Whenever they're requesting what they're requesting, He says, فَإِنَّ مَطَالِبَهُمْ كُلَّهَا دَخِيلَةٌ تَحْتَ رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ الْخَاصَةِ تَحْتَ رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ الْخَاصَةِ. Because everything that they're requesting, and in all of these supplications, they're all included in this specific type of tarbiyah. And the specific type of tarbiyah. And this is what they're requesting and what they're calling for and what they're asking for. The good of this life, the good of the hereafter, for forgiveness, for sins, and for their feet to be firm, and for help and aid against the disbelievers. So on and so forth. All of these supplications that begin with this word here, this beautiful name here, Rabb, they're like this. And this is all under the Lordship of Allah. So to call on Him with this name, recognizing the meanings of this name likewise, and that this is from those special characteristics that the beloved of Allah, they will receive, and to call on Him by this name, knowing that He has authority and command, this is from the greatest means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal, and يتوصل العبد إلى الله عز وجل, to get what he wants. To get what he's hoping for, by calling on Allah by this name specifically, Rabb. Rabb. And this meaning likewise is that a person, he realizes, I'm a slave, you're my Rabb, all of the good is in your hands. Everything I need, everything I want, everything that I want from the good of this life, or from safety and security from harm, all of that is in the hands of the Rabb. So to call on Him by that name and to hope in his mercy and His forgiveness and to hope for His help and His aid in this manner, this is from the greatest means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. So it says, فَدَلَّ قَوْلُهُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is evidence or indicates عَلَى إِنْفِرَادِهِ بِالْخَلْقِ وَالتَّدْبِيرِ, that Allah alone, He is the creator and the one disposing of the affairs. وَالنِّعَمْ, and He is the one likewise who's providing the bounties and the favors. وَكَمَالِ غِنَاهُ وَتَمَامِ فَقْرِ الْعَالَمِينَ إِلَيْهِ بِكُلِ وَجْهٍ وَاعْتِبَارٍ. And Allah Azza wa Jal is completely in no need of anything, and that the creation is completely in need from Him from every aspect and from every regard. From every aspect and from every regard. So again, to know who the Rabb is, and to worship Him in the manner that requires, and the manner that requires. This comes from understanding this term. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Even the very first verse here in Surah Al-Fatiha, every aspect of Tawheed is found here in the first verse. التوحيد العلمي والتوحيد العملي. In general, التوحيد العلمي والتوحيد العملي is all found here. The knowledge-based Tawheed and the application of a Tawheed is all found in this one verse. And even if we go into more detail, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is found in this verse. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah is found in this verse. Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat is found in this verse. And this one verse is all about Tawheed. The Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever a person, he says Alhamdulillah, this is to praise Allah with love and veneration and magnification. So praising Allah Azza wa Jalla with the tongue and the heart, this is an action of worship. This is an action of worship. To praise Allah and to love Him. And to praise Allah and to love Him. And to glorify Him and to magnify Him. And to recognize His favors and His blessings. To recognize that He is the one who possesses the attributes of perfection. To recognize that all of the favors and blessings are coming from Him. And to love Him and to magnify Him for that and to praise Him. This is called ibadah. This is called ibadah. So that's tawheed al-ibadah. To single out Allah alone for this. This is tawheed al-ibadah. And likewise, the Allah Azza wa Jal mentioning His beautiful name here, Allah. And this is as we have the name of Allah. And likewise, the name of Allah is mentioned here. And likewise, Rabb al-Alameen. And the name Ar-Rabb is mentioned here. This is from His beautiful names and attributes. And we have seen likewise how these particular names here contain many meanings. Many meanings and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in this verse we find the great issue of Tawheed al-Ibadah. And likewise, Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat. And also in the statement Rabb al-Alameen, Rabb al-Alameen, we find the issue of the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this one verse right here contains all aspects of a Tawheed. All aspects of a Tawheed are mentioned and clarified in this very first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabbil Alameen. After this, the author, he says, Ar-Rahman, Rahmatan Aamatan bi jami' al-makhluqat, Ar-Rahim, Rahmatan khasatan bil mu'minin. والدليل قوله تعالى وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما. He says Ar-Rahman, Rahmatan Aama, Rahmatan Aama. The word Ar-Rahman, this is an indication of general and encompassing mercy. General and encompassing mercy بِجَمِيعِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ, encompassing all of the creation. Encompassing all of the creation. Ar-Rahim, Rahmatan خَاصَةً بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And as for Ar-Rahim, this is indicating the attribute of mercy, a specific mercy for the believers. A specific mercy for the believers. The author says, "What دَلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى." The evidence for this is the statement of Allah the Most High, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And Allah is merciful to the believers. And meaning the using the word Rahim specifically in reference to the believers. Specifically in reference to the believers. So these two names here, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, these are two of the greatest names of Allah Azza wa Jal. Two of the most beautiful names of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And they have a great status you need to understand in the life of a believer. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He has began the Quran with these two names, Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The Quran begins with the Basmala. And likewise, every other chapter as well, besides Bara'ah, begins with these names likewise as well. With the mention of Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. So it's as if this is the embodiment of the book. Yani the title of the book. Yani Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. This is how the book begins. This is how the Quran begins. In this manner like this. The first thing that one, he will read. And the first thing that one, he will see. And this is in reality amazing. This is in reality amazing. And Allah, He is the most gracious and He is the most merciful. And whenever Jibreel, he would descend with a new chapter, then he would descend with this statement here. As we have seen, Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And he mentioning these two names and this great trait of mercy. So therefore, this attribute here of mercy, this attribute is very important. The people of Allah, as they mentioned about these two beautiful names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, they interpret Ar-Rahman to mean ذو رحمةٍ واسعة. ذو رحمةٍ واسعة. And they interpret Ar-Rahim to mean ذو رحمةٍ واصلة. ذو رحمةٍ واصلة. So ذو رحمة واسعة, meaning that Ar-Rahman ذو رحمة واسعة, meaning that He is the one who possesses vast mercy. He is the one who possesses vast mercy. This is the indication here. And in both of these beautiful names, they indicate one attribute, and that is Ar-Rahma. Ar-Rahma العظيمة التي تليق بالرب سبحانه وتعالى. Great mercy, which is suitable for the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. Both of these names indicate this same attribute. But Ar-Rahman is indicating that Ar-Rahma wasfun, wasfun dhatiyun lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is his attribute, this is his trait, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has vast mercy, vast mercy. And as for Ar-Rahim, then this likewise is his trait, but this is with regards to the fact that Allah, he shows mercy to whom he wills, that he bestows that mercy to whom he wills. And this is derived also from understanding the Arabic language. Because as we know, the words in the Arabic language, many times they come on scales. And these scales, they have different meanings. And by understanding those scales and the original meaning of words, a person, he's able to express himself. A person who's able to express himself, and he will put the proper word on the proper scale to indicate the meaning that he wants to express. And so this is an issue with regards to the Arabic language. An issue with regards to the Arabic language. So this word Ar-Rahman, it comes on the scale of Fa'lan. And the word Ar-Rahim, it comes on the scale of Fa'il. So these scales here, they have meanings. And from the meanings of the scale Fa'lan is Sa'a wa Imtila. Sa'a wa Imtila. That this indicates that the word that is on this scale is full, of that action, or of that verb, is full of it, and it has vast, in a vast sense, and is full of that word in a vast sense. For example, the word ghadiba, means he is mad, he was mad, ghadiba yaghdabu, and he became angry, So you need from al-ghadab. Al-ghadab is anger. So if you put it on that scale, then you say ghadban. So this means he's furious. What does that mean, Danny? That he's full of anger. Somebody who's furious, meaning he's full of anger. Yani that anger has, he's full of anger. He's not mad anymore. A person who's mad, you call him ghadib. Ghadiba. He's mad. But a person who's furious, at the peak of anger, he's called ghadban. Ghadban. So this is, yani, from this scale. So words that come on this scale, they have that meaning, being full of the verb and having a vast understanding. So therefore, from here we see Ar-Rahman, yani he's got vast mercy. Vast mercy. Mercy that is encompassing all of his creation. Mercy that is encompassing all of his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal is provided for and sustained in existence by the mercy of Allah. By the mercy of Allah. Those who believe and those who do not believe. And even those that are alive and those that are inanimate objects. Everything is in this creation is encompassed by the mercy of Ar-Rahman. By the mercy of Ar-Rahman. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he has this general encompassing mercy. And it's understood from here. As for Ar-Rahim, then he is the one who bestows the mercy on whom he will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.